Chapter 41. What I was going to observe, my dear madam, here the resolute Clump once more interposed with a bland air, had I was going to observe when you gave utterance to sentiments which do you so much honor, was that I think you alarm yourself needlessly about our kind friend, and sacrifice your own health too prodigally in her favor. I would lay down my life for my duty, or for any member of my husband's family, Mrs. Bute interposed. Yes, madam, if need were, but we don't want Mrs. Bute Crawley to be a martyr, Clump said gallantly. R. Squills and myself have both considered Miss Crawley's case with every anxiety and care, as you may suppose. We see her low-spirited and nervous. Family events have agitated her. Her nephew will come to perdition, Mrs. Crawley cried. Have agitated her. And you arrived like a guardian angel, my dear madam, a positive guardian angel, I assure you, to soothe her under the pressure of calamity. But Dr. Squills and I were thinking that our amiable friend is not in such a state as renders confinement to her bed necessary. She is depressed, but this confinement perhaps adds to her depression. She should have change, fresh air, gaiety, the most delightful remedies in the pharmacopoeia, Mr. Clump said, grinning and showing his handsome teeth. Persuade her to rise, dear madam, drag her from her couch and her low spirits, insist upon her taking little drives. They will restore the roses to your cheeks, if I may so speak to Mrs. Bute Crawley. The sight of her horrid nephew casually in the park, where I am told the wretch drives with the brazen partner of his crimes, Mrs. Bute said, letting the cat of selfishness out of the bag of secrecy, would cause her such a shock, that we should have to bring her back to bed again. She must not go out, Mr. Clump. She shall not go out, as long as I remain to watch over her, and as for my health, what matters it? I give it cheerfully, sir. I sacrifice it at the altar of my duty. Upon my word, madam, Mr. Clump now said bluntly, I won't answer for her life, if she remains locked up in that dark room. She is so nervous, that we may lose her any day, and if you wish Captain Crawley to be her heir, I warn you frankly, madam, that you are doing your very best to serve him. Gracious mercy, is her life in danger? Mrs. Bute cried. Hi, why, Mr. Clump, did you not inform me sooner? The night before, Mr. Clump and Dr. Squills had had a consultation over a bottle of wine at the house of Sir Lapin Warren, whose lady was about to present him with a 13th blessing regarding Miss Crawley and her case. What a little harpy that woman from Hampshire is, Clump, Squills remarked, that has seized upon old Tilly Crawley. Devilish good Madeira. What a fool Rawdon Crawley has been, Clump replied, to go and marry a governess. There was something about the girl too. Green eyes, fair skin, pretty figure, famous frontal development, Squills remarked. Here is something about her, and Crawley was a fool, Squills. A dee fool always was, the apothecary replied. Of course the old girl will fling him over, said the physician, and after a pause added, she'll cut up well, I suppose. Cut up, says Clump with a grin, I wouldn't have her cut up for 200 a year. That Hampshire woman will kill her in 2 months, Clump, my boy, if she stops about her, Dr. Squill said. Oh old woman, full feeder, nervous subject, palpitation of the heart, pressure on the brain. Apoplexy, off she goes. Get her up, Clump, get her out. Or I wouldn't give many weeks' purchase for your 200 a year. And it was acting upon this hint that the worthy apothecary spoke with so much candor to Mrs. Bute Crawley. Having the old lady under her hand, in bed, with nobody near, Mrs. Bute had made more than one assault upon her to induce her to alter her will. But Miss Crawley's usual terrors regarding death increased greatly when such dismal propositions were made to her, and Mrs. Bute saw that she must get her patient into cheerful spirits and health before she could hope to attain the pious object which S. he had in view. Whither to take her was the next puzzle. The only place where she is not likely to meet those odious Rodents is a church, and that won't amuse her, Mrs. Bute justly felt. He must go and visit our beautiful suburbs of London, she then thought. Here they are the most picturesque in the world. And so as he had a sudden interest for Hampstead and Hornsey, and found that Dulwich had great charms for her, and getting her victim into her carriage, drove her to those rustic spots, beguiling the little journeys with conversations about Rawdon and his wife, and telling every story to the old lady which could add to her indignation against this pair of reprobates. Perhaps Mrs. Bute pulled the string unnecessarily tight. For though she worked up Miss Crawley to a proper dislike of her disobedient nephew, the invalid had a great hatred and secret terror of her victimizer, and panted to escape from her. After a brief space, she rebelled against Highgate and Hornsey utterly. She would go into the park. Mrs. Bute knew they would meet the abominable Rawdon there, and she was right. One day in the ring, Rawdon Stanhope came in sight. Rebecca was seated by him. In the enemy's equipage, Miss Crawley occupied her usual place, with Mrs. Bute on her left, the poodle and Miss Briggs on the back seat. It was a nervous moment, and Rebecca's heart beat quick as she recognized the carriage. And as the two vehicles crossed each other in a line, she clasped her hands, and looked towards the spinster with a face of agonized attachment and devotion. Rawdon himself trembled, and his face grew purple behind his dyed mustachios. Only old Briggs was moved in the other carriage, and cast her great eyes nervously towards her old friends. Miss Crawley's bonnet was resolutely turned towards the serpentine. Mrs. Bute happened to be in ecstasies with the poodle, and was calling him a little darling, and a sweet little zoggy, and a pretty pet. The carriages moved on, each in his line. Done, by Jove, Rawdon said to his wife. Try once more, Rawdon, Rebecca answered. Old nut, you lock your wheels into theirs, dearest. Rawdon had not the heart for that maneuver. When the carriages met again, he stood up in his Stanhope. He raised his hand ready to doff his hat. He looked with all his eyes. But this time Miss Crawley's face was not turned away. She and Mrs. Bute looked him full in the face, and cut their nephew pitilessly. He sank back in his seat with an oath, and striking out of the ring, dashed away desperately homewards. It was a gallant and decided triumph for Mrs. Bute. But she felt the danger of many such meetings, as she saw the evident nervousness of Miss Crawley, and she determined that it was most necessary for her dear friend's health that they should leave town for a while, and recommended Brighton very strongly. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.